Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Steve.
And I'm CJ.
And welcome to another episode of The Last Podcast You'd Want. How we doing, everybody? We welcome to the show professional wrestler, friend of mine, CJ Tino. CJ, how we doing?
I'm doing great. Very happy to be on and talk movies and kind of whatever else this journey takes us.
And I appreciate you coming on. If you folks are into professional wrestling, which I think a handful of your fans are, check out CJ on the Independence. You can check him coming out on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. You can check him out at San Diego Professional Wrestling Academy. And from what I read, soon to be the New Japan Dojo.
Yes. I signed up. It's starting next week, where I'll be training at the New Japan Pro Wrestling Dojo up in LA for 12 weeks. And then hopefully, you know, all things go well with that and get an opportunity to wrestle for them maybe a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome to hear. That's great. So to start it, before we started talking, you said that you've decided to take a recent journey and start discovering the works of one Quentin Tarantino. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, that's 100% correct. It wasn't until maybe before the pandemic where I first saw Kill Bill Volume 1 and Volume 2, because it was my roommate's favorite movie at the time. So we watched those. And then it wasn't until recently there was like an Instagram trend where people were posting the six movies that like define them. And one of my close friends posted Pulp Fiction, and I was like, I've never seen it. I feel like as a film enthusiast, that's just unacceptable to have not seen it. So I watched it, absolutely loved it. And then I kind of made it my mission. I was like, well, let's watch all of Tarantino's works. So after that, I actually watched Reservoir Dogs for the first time last night. I figured no better place to start than his first movie.
Sure. And so right now you've seen of the what is it, the seven films that Tarantino has done, you have seen technically three of them?
I know, because like I've heard about him before that like he wants to stop at 10. And I know there's like loose definitions on like, because so Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, does it count as 1? Does it count as 2? So...
sure. Yeah. And then he has a film that he did, him and Robert Rodriguez did the Grindhouse series, where Robert Rodriguez made Planet Terror and Tarantino made Death Proof, but he doesn't include that in like his directorial works, which is because it's a full-length feature film.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, he wants to stop at a certain number, but you've seen with Reservoir Dogs, and then it goes, I believe, Pulp Fiction, then it's Jackie Brown is going to be the next one that you're going to want to watch, and that one is just a spectacular cast. It's one that I need to revisit. It's near the bottom of my Tarantino list.
Yeah.
I've only seen it a couple times when I was at a younger age, and I didn't really appreciate storytelling and cinematography and everything for what it really is. I just wanted action and you know, pointless humor and all of that. But of the three that you've seen, which one's your favorite so far?
It's Pulp Fiction. That was like, I remember watching it and immediately being like, I get why people love this. Like, this is incredible. And it's like a movie you could absolutely watch over and over and again and see different things. Like, I wasn't fully aware the like non-linear different character kind of structure that it had, but I loved it. Like I talked to a lot of people about it afterwards about how I would have ended it, and I think the ending with Samuel L. Jackson walking away from like the life of crime was like perfect in my opinion.
I think where they cut it, and if you were to cut the film chronologically, I think both endings
would have been good.
Are perfect, because the actual ending that we have is Jules walking away. But if you were to take the film and cut it into a chronological order, the last scene of the film would be Bruce Willis getting on the bike with his girlfriend. And the last line of the film would be Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead. And then they take off on the bike. Are you aware that John Travolta in Pulp Fiction and Michael Madsen in Reservoir Dogs are brothers?
I did not know that at all. Like, both last name, same parents?
Both last name Vega. Vincent Vega is.
Oh, I see. So I did pick up on the Vega thing, and I was just like, maybe this is like a surname that Tarantino likes or something.
No, they are brothers. And
okay.
The Tarantino universe, Michael Madsen and John Travolta, they're the Vega brothers. Tarantino has talked about it before. I was talking with a friend recently that I wish there was like an ability besides Alzheimer's to just forget something that you have watched. I love, there are certain movies that the first time you watch them are like defining moments.
Yeah.
There are great movies that you can watch that have twists that you just don't see coming. There are very few films that I can watch where there's a twist that I don't see coming.
Tarantino
really doesn't have the twist thing, but I would love the ability just to rewatch Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, just again for the first time, because I just remember enjoying them so much.
So you would be jealous because I really came into them blind. Like, I didn't even really know what the plot of them were at all. So, like, for Reservoir Dogs, for sure, realizing that a lot of the plot was kind of undercover or uncovering who the undercover cop was like, I had no idea until obviously it's revealed.
So watching it for the first time as an adult, what is your reaction to Michael Madsen and the ear scene?
I honestly thought it was going to be more gruesome because I was reading the Wikipedia page this morning for it, and they were saying like, that scene turned off a lot of people, and like people walked out during the theaters. Like, I was fully expecting that man to get lit on fire. So it was definitely intense and violent, but it wasn't so uneasy where I was like, oh, I thought like it could have gone more. And I don't mean to sound dark and twisted, but yeah.
Kill Bill was a lot more violent and dark than that scene was.
Even Pulp Fiction with the scene in the pawn shop, I think was a little more intense.
Get the gimp, but the yes. Get the gimps asleep.
Yes.
You got a lot of great ones coming ahead. Jackie Brown, Inglourious Basterds is just such a fun. I would say you have two choices. You can either watch the films in which Quentin Tarantino made them watching them year by year, or you can just save Inglourious Basterds to the end.
It's that good.
It's probably like, I've been rewatching a lot of Tarantino lately. Yeah. I need to rewatch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because the last time I've only seen it once. I saw it when it came out in the theaters, but I loved it. I thought it was a great flick. It's a very much a very Tarantino film.
Yeah.
But for me, Inglourious Basterds right now is probably my favorite.
Okay, well that's definitely good to keep in mind.
And it's like every Tarantino film, like it's just a stellar cast. It's just a spectacular script, a stellar cast.
That's so the great thing things. I've noticed is even the people with roles that aren't necessarily as meaty or as juicy, like they like each person in it does such a such a good job.
Well, like Kill Bill, you get Samuel Jackson as Rufus the piano player.
Yeah.
Once again, Tarantino just gets Sam Jackson in there.
Yeah.
Django's another good one. I'm starting to think of all his works. A fun one that it's a movie that's directed by four directors. There's four different scenes. If you haven't seen it, it's called Four Rooms.
I haven't heard of it now.
The main character is Tim Roth. So, okay. Mr. Orange.
Yep.
Tell me, as a wrestling fan, does Orange Cassidy not look like Tim Roth in Reservoir Dogs, who is Mr. Orange?
I can kind of see the resemblance, especially like the slicked back hair and like, especially when he's before he's in the suit and he's just like wearing his street clothes.
I've always thought that Orange Cassidy somehow pulled his character from Mr. Orange from Reservoir Dogs, no, a lot of great Tarantino stuff. Before Rooms, Tim Roth's the main character, and Tarantino directs the last scene. Robert Rodriguez directs one of the other scenes, and then I don't know the name of the other two directors. But funny enough, because of Four Rooms, we were able to get From Dusk Till Dawn because Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez were talking on set and Robert Rodriguez essentially said something to Tarantino like, oh, I've really been wanting to do a vampire film. And Tarantino looked at him and said, I have a vampire script here. Tarantino wrote From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
And then it, from what I know, I don't know the actual story. I wasn't there. Right. I don't know the exact shtick. But apparently they were just talking in jest. And Rodriguez was like, I really want to do a vampire film. And Tarantino was like, I got a script. Let's make it happen. And then Tarantino ended up winning the role of Clooney's brother. Have you seen From Dusk Till Dawn?
I have not. No, I'm not familiar.
And I've already said too much giving away that it's a vampire flick, because this is a movie that you walk into that the vampire comes left field.
Okay,
interesting. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. From Dusk Till Dawn, George Clooney, Harvey Keitel, Quentin Tarantino. Cheech Marin plays like three different roles. It's great. It's a fun one to watch. And it's Robert Rodriguez. I'm a big fan of Robert Rodriguez. But you're getting into Tarantino. Yes. But speaking of directors, if you had to pick one as someone that you enjoy the collective works of, who would you pick?
I feel like there's a lot of like the obvious kind of answers, especially people of my generation, that they'll say like Christopher Nolan or whatnot. But really the first one that comes to mind is Ryan Coogler, who I think that's his first name, right?
What's he done?
So I think his first movie was Fruitvale Station, and then he did Creed, and then he did Black Panther, and I think he was the director for Black Panther 2.
Okay.
But those first three movies, like especially Creed, is probably one of my favorite movies of all time, and I think it was one of the few examples of like a modern retelling of essentially just an adaptation of a movie from the 70s and 80s that just like hits on so many different levels.
Okay. And that's a fun one. I'm a big fan of Black Panther. Black Panther is actually my favorite Marvel movie.
Oh, interesting.
Fruitvale Station is a great one. And Creed, along with Creed 2 and Creed 3, really great movies. I'm not even going to lie. I watched Creed and I watched Creed 2 while flying to like Georgia or Tennessee. I watched them on my phone on a plane. Yeah. And even on the smaller screen, the emotion, the everything that comes with going to the theater was experienced just right there on a plane. And it was a great watch through, and it was a lot of fun. And I really enjoyed them. So that's a good one for a director. It's first time he's really been mentioned by name on the show. I would also say Nolan doesn't get talked about nearly enough, at least on my show.
That's surprising, because I feel like people of my age range, who's young 30s, male demographic, I feel like we all have this like special kinship just to the Dark Knight trilogy as it is. And I feel like that was kind of the gateway into him as a director, with Inception and Prestige and Memento and Interstellar. And he's like one of the few directors that I feel now who he can kind of sell a movie with just his name being on it.
Sure. And it's so crazy you mentioned, because I'm not even going to lie, I forgot Nolan did Prestige. I absolutely love the Prestige. And now that you're like, it's a Nolan film, I'm like, of course it's with twists and the turns that we go on that, of course it's a Nolan film. The best for me was seeing Prestige in the theater and realizing halfway through the second scene with Tesla that it was David Bowie.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Like
Andy Serkis, you recognize him right away anywhere. Even back then, I knew who Andy Serkis was with all of his motion cap work and all of that.
Right.
But just the joy of being in a theater and just being like, oh shit, that's David Bowie as Tesla. Like, I didn't even, it's so good. That's one of those movies that I'd love to be able to go back, erase my mind, and rewatch.
Watch for the first time. Yeah. Because that was a twist that hook on. Like, I feel like if you're a keen enough viewer, you might be able to pick up on it. But no, the twist completely got me by surprise.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. With that though, are you a video gamer at all? Are you watching any TV shows? We kind of cover a little bit of everything here on the show.
Yeah. less so of a video gamer lately. I mean, I was always really big into Super Smash Brothers. Lately, I've actually been playing an independent wrestling game called Wrestling Empire on the Nintendo Switch, where it's like this one Canadian guy created this game, and he is not using licensed characters at all because all of the wrestlers in the game are just like spoofs and ripoffs. For instance, like Hulk Hogan is Hal Coogan. yes, but it's fun. It was only $20. It's a blast. And then on the television side of things, I'm a huge fan of the TV show Workaholics. That was like maybe my favorite show in college. So I've recently been trying to rewatch it whenever I've got like 20 or 30 minutes to spare.
There you go. I recently watched Monarch on Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
And Anders is on it.
No way.
And we could not, my wife and I could not remember his character's name.
Yeah.
And I just looked at her. I was like, what's Anders? Like, it doesn't matter what his character name is. It's right. Anders. Like plain and simple. No, I love Workaholics. It's one that I should probably revisit, that I'll end up watching it like three times. There are only two TV shows that I've watched three times, and they're both comedy. I've watched The Office three times through,
yep.
And I've watched The League three times through.
So I have not seen much of The League, but all of my friends have told me I would love it. And I've seen like clips, and the premise, I mean, it seems like a perfect fit with fantasy football and
humor. I don't like football. I don't like wrestling is the only sport I like.
Interesting.
And The League is so funny. Like, I would highly recommend, I want to say it's on Hulu right now. If you have Hulu, if you don't have Hulu, you know someone who does. That's what I say about any streaming service.
Yes.
You know someone who does. Like, I trade my Vudu for Tommy Wilson's Apple, and that's how it works. I forgot where I was going. But either way,
The League. On Hulu?
Yeah. The League is on Hulu. And if you can make it through the first episode, if you laugh at the first episode, you're going to laugh the rest of the way.
Yeah.
It is early Jason Mantzoukas, who is one of my all-time favorite comedic actors right now. He plays Ravi, and it's so much fun with the guest appearances. Seth Rogen appears at it at one point. And if you like football, there's a lot of actual football players and coaches and owners and shit like that. Like, it's fun. But yeah, if you haven't really watched The League, I would highly recommend that. And if you haven't seen Monarch, if you have Apple TV, it's got Anders, so you might want to go check that out.
Honestly, no, like, that brought a legitimate smile to my face, because Adam Devine is candidly my favorite, but I feel like he's the one whose career has been the most successful post-Workaholics. So it always brings a smile to my face whenever Blake or Durs or even Kyle Newacek, like, get work elsewhere.
Sure. Yeah, it's a fun, and if you're a fan of the Godzilla universe, it's a series that takes place pre King Kong Skull Island and post Godzilla, like the Godzilla with Bryan Cranston.
Yes, yeah, the 2014
one. And it's pre-Kong Skull Island. And I will say, they jump back and forth between 1950-something and 2020-something.
Yeah.
And they jump back and forth and very fast, and sometimes they do not tell you that they are jumping back and forth. But it's obvious because they're using different actors. But I like it. It's a lot of fun. You get Wyatt Russell and Kurt Russell, father and son, playing the same character. You have Wyatt Russell playing the character in 1950-something and Kurt Russell playing the same character in the future.
That's actually genius. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. But with that, as we just kind of come to an end with the show, where are you at? Where can people find you? This is where you can plug any shows that you got coming up, or where people, you know, can find you and all that good stuff. Talk away.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say Instagram is probably where I'm the most active. I'm a little bit active on Twitter. Fortunately, my handle is the same for both. It is at CJTino551. And as far as keeping up with wrestling postings, if you're local to the Southern California area and you have any interest in seeing some professional wrestling, you can just follow my page, and I'll always be sharing stories or posts about where you can see me.
Excellent. Well, as we come to an end, I always like the guests to leave the listeners with words of wisdom or any lifelike advice that you wanna leave them with.
Sure. I had the pleasure of meeting Tommy Wiseau this past summer to see The Room. I don't know if anyone's ever quoted this, but I, as crazy as he is, I think it's a wonderful quote where if a lot of people loved each other, the world would be a better place to live.
It's a good quote. CJ, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, appreciate it.
And ladies and gentlemen, that has been another episode of The Last Podcast You'd Want. And until next time, tip the veal, try the staff. We'll see you then.
Thanks for coming to see our show.
Sad to tell you, we got to go.
Grab your hat and head for the door.
In case you didn't notice, there ain't any more. If you like our show, tell everyone but. If you think it stinks, keep your big mouth shut.